welcome to this special extended podcast for the complete service for Easter Sunday 2020. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes.
Come out of hiding, you're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home.
Hello. I'm just getting out for the first time since it all happened, and they suggested that I stay at home. You know, it's just far too dangerous for us at the moment to be out and about. But I decided when I went into hiding that I'd take the phone off the hook, take off social media. Just wanted to try and avoid all the well wishers. You know, those keen to share words of encouragement and positive thinking. I can't cope with it all, really. I can't cope with the positive vibes that everyone is demanding of me. The others, well, they seem to have adjusted relatively to the new normal. And when I say I'm struggling, they share their thoughts and prayers. What do they mean by that one? What do people mean by thoughts and prayers? But I've noticed how angry I get when people offer me sympathy. I can't control it, really. And I want to shout at them, "Leave me alone!" And other choice words. But they mean well, but I just find that their words that they assume will comfort me just don't. And I'm left having to lie to them or to nod thankfully. I just feel that when they say kind of the usual, you know, "He's in a better place," or "He is at rest," you'll always have the memories. Or the worst one. "He's always here in your heart." What rubbish. Rubbish, it's not here. All I feel is his absence. Nothing of him remains. He's just gone and abandoned me. And don't patronise me, you know, you well-wishers. Don't patronise me into thinking that he is here when he's not. As if I just wish hard enough, he'll appear to me. 'Cause he won't. Don't rush me past the very important realization that I have lost someone I loved, who was everything to me. I've lost him for good. I'm not getting him back. They say these things and expect me to sort of respond as if there's a liturgical response, which which I don't know and I don't believe. Sorry, I've realised that grief kind of makes one very, very selfish. The rest of them, well, they were all forced inside as well. They huddled together, like I was, behind locked doors, fearful, afraid. No one seems to know what to do or even what not to do. The future seems uncertain and normality. We had hope that he would be able to always steer us through. But then he died. Left us all to guess how to respond. Livelihoods, normality, all gone, and where is he? Left us. It's abandoned us. I thought I would never leave the house ever again. But here I am. Managed it. Early in the morning. Sun just beginning to rise. Not that that matters, I guess. Strange how much the walls that held me safe for so long began to squeeze me outside. I just had this desire all of a sudden to go somewhere. Anywhere, really. But I didn't have anywhere to go. So I've decided I'm going to walk to his tomb. Don't know why. Not sure what good it will do. People do go and talk to the dead, don't they? And I don't really know what I'm doing. I've brought, you can see in my backpack, I've brought some things to do. You know, flowers, oils, candle. It all seems a bit pointless. What difference is it going to make? What am I doing here? You know? What is dressing a grave and talking to a dead person as if they're alive? You know, wishing that they were here again. Tell you what has been helpful in all my grief and turmoil and uncertainty. I found writing poetry helpful. It always does, really. It's always sort of held me and helped me to express those deeper feelings, those things that I didn't know I felt, those things I didn't expect to find deep inside me. So, thought I'd share some with you. That's very poignant for now, coming to find his tomb. I've tried to be brave, just as I promised in those earlier times of past. I've tried to be strong, for good, and for others, but today, I can't see how it lasts. The truth is, he's gone. Hears me no more. Conversations are finished for now. Those songs and the banter no one else could devise are fading so quickly somehow. Memories are comfort, they say in your grief. They're just being helpful, I guess. But what good is then, when you lived in the now? How do I settle for less? When your grief drags you down and you fear the dark pool of depression and loneliness too. How do I weep those deep, private tears? Which he always instinctively knew. When you don't want the pity, and the sympathy's fine, but all that you need is a crutch. Sometimes it's painful, just to sit on your own, as you constantly remember his touch. The hope that I spoke as we waved goodbye is a meal that is meant to sustain. I'm guessing it's natural to feel it get stuck in my throat as it starts to constrain. The journey is guesswork, without him as guesser, and I realise how much I relied on his deep, profound wisdom and presence to boot, so I'm left to guess why he died. And strong I will be, brave at times, but today I just want to cry. It's healthy, I know, ashamed I won't be, but I have to admit that I lied. I lied to you in truth. As you struggled to breathe, I said that I would be fine. I may well be in a few months' time, but for now I'm dressing your shrine. That's not healthy. He's safely away. I shouldn't hold on, I know. But just for the moment, I need a quick fix. And so I succumb to letting go. Anyway, I'm here now, and I just need to find where he lay. I'll know it by the big, large stone that's rolled in front. That's what Mary told me. There's this stone, but... Oh my God. Where the... What the... What's happened? Hello? Hello? Oh my God, who are you? What have you done with him? Where is he?
Chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They'd been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What a strange Easter Sunday this is today. You'll notice we've not yet said the Easter acclamation. We've not proclaimed Christ is risen. I just want us to pause before we do that and engage with this story of Mark's Gospel. We don't usually hear Mark's Gospel on Easter Sunday because it's, well, it's a bit of a naff resurrection story. We don't see Jesus. The people don't respond in the way that we usually hear that they do, with joy and celebration, and they can't help but tell everyone. But actually they go away fearful and quiet and probably just want a bit baffled, really. I just think it's a really important story to hear when we are behind locked doors and we will feel restricted from being able to walk around the streets proclaiming that Christ is risen, hallelujah. It's an odd year to celebrate Easter. But it is not all bad news. It's not all somber. Actually, we've got lots to celebrate and lots to speak about. In this passage, along with the video that I prepared for us, there's a sense in which they go expecting the usual, expecting to see the tomb. But at the same time, they've got questions about why they're doing what they're doing. They've made a decision to go to the tomb, but they haven't really thought about who's going to open it for them. They get there and they ask the question, "Look, who's going to roll the stone away?" So many of us are making decisions without all the information. We're sort of just trying stuff out. And hey, we're making mistakes. We're going to do an action which we think we just instinctively want to do, and we don't know why we're doing it. We just sort of on autopilot and sort of making it up as we go along. And then we find ourselves there and we kind of go, oh, I sort of wish I'd been told that, or wish I'd thought about that, or I wish I'd planned for that. So much of our lives is just chaos and we're just stabbing in the dark. But this Bible passage says the sun has risen. It's early in the morning, yes, but the sun is there. And they get to the tomb and they sort of, like my video, probably telling themselves, as you do in grief, just reminding themselves, no, he's dead. He's not alive. He's gone. He's not here. We can't talk to him. We can't ask him whether he wants us to do A or B or do whatever. We're sort of just making it up as we go along without his instructions and guidance. And so often our journey of faith is like that, where we want Jesus to be really clear as to what we're meant to be doing with our lives. And he's surprisingly silent. And we get to this tomb where we expect to meet with him, expect to see something of him. And we get told instead he's not here. But not that he's just gone and left us with no instructions. He's not here, but he will meet you in this new place. He has gone ahead of you. Jesus has gone ahead of us all in this situation. He will meet us at the end and will explain it all to us. But for now, we walk in patient waiting. The Christian faith post-resurrection is now looking ahead to when Jesus will return. For Jesus will come and bring all things into completion. And we look forward to that day, and we look forward to it with a promise and the security and the trust, because Jesus has indeed risen. He has left his tomb. He is no longer contained by death. He is free and moves about amongst us. And that same vibrant, living Jesus promises that he will return. He comes to us by the Holy Spirit now. He comes to us and dwells with us at particular moments by his Holy Spirit, dwells within us, gives us power, gives us wisdom, gives us insight. But that is not complete. It is diminished. We wait for that completion when Jesus returns again. This is what we sort of look ahead to. But we can celebrate this morning, even though we might be afraid, even though terror might strike us and we're a bit baffled by what this all means and what this looks like and how we do this celebration and who do we tell and why do we tell it. All of those questions are sort of held, and yet Jesus is still risen. Whether you acknowledge or understand it, whether I acknowledge it or understand it, the truth is Jesus is risen. We don't need to have an intellectual grasp of what that means. We don't need to know how it happened. We don't know to know the ins and outs of what happened on Holy Saturday in the grave, in the tomb. I wonder if you've ever asked yourself that. What did it actually look like, Jesus coming back to life? Was it just a, you know, or was it a sort of magical, you know, reincarnation sort of, what's a Doctor Who thing where he gets regenerated? Is it a bit like that where suddenly it all kind of came back and he kind of, you know, that light emanated? It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is that historically, factually proven in the records and in a number of different things, that Jesus rose, not just in our minds or in our hearts or in our desires and our fantasies. He actually physically rose from the dead. And because of that, and because of the interactions that we will now celebrate from now on, heading into the lectionary readings of his encounters with the disciples in different ways, because of all of that, his promises are now faithful and true, and we can rely upon them. And we look ahead to that second coming of Jesus. So we can indeed, unlike these disciples in Mark's gospel, we can go out and celebrate. And celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're holding this weird tension at the moment where we want to go out and do something, but actually, where do we go? What do? We don't know any of that this morning. It's not a normal Easter Sunday of, well, I'll go to church and I'll do this and then I'll go home and then we'll have a nice meal. Then we might go out for a walk on an Easter Sunday. Then we'll have chocolate and then we'll go and visit family. All of those plans are sort of thrown out the window and we're a bit paralysed, stuck, still locked behind closed doors like those first disciples, still wrestling with what does this mean? So this morning it's okay to feel terror, to feel fear and bafflement. It's okay to feel those things. Those things are allowed. But do not allow them to deny a reality that Christ is indeed risen. So we're going to just name those things. Name those feelings that we have this morning before our Heavenly Father. And we're going to use the confession on the service sheet, which I hope you've been able to download and access. Like Mary at the empty tomb, we fail to grasp the wonder of your presence. Lord, have mercy. Like the disciples behind locked doors, we are afraid to be seen as your followers. Christ, have mercy. Like Thomas in the upper room, we are slow to believe. Lord, have mercy. So he sits in that confessional state with a lot of emotions churning up, being sometimes overwhelmed by them in the last few days, I'm sure. Let's worship God. Let's worship God with a good classic hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I'm going to mute my mic as always, but let's sing along together.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful am my song shall live. Charlie!
So may the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. So now we get to an opportunity to proclaim the reality and the truth of Christ's resurrection, no matter how much we feel it or not. So I want you to do this very publicly, if you don't mind. If you're able to, I want you to go and open up a window or open up a front door and shout this at the top of your lungs, or as loud as you feel you are able to at this time, just to proclaim this to your neighbourhood and to the world. So we're going to go and do the Easter acclamation. You may want to leave the computer, but go and shout, Alleluia, Christ is risen, he's risen indeed, Alleluia. So I'm going to just invite you to go off and do that. Off you go. I'm going to stay here for those of you who are going to stay here, and we'll say it together in about 5 seconds' time. Okay, so quickly run to the window or to the door. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. We say together, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Do come back together. I'm just going to close a few things down, sorry. Easter is a great time to renew our commitment to Christ, to renew our faith in following him. As the truth of the resurrection seeps into us slowly and over time, we act in an act of faith and trust, putting our lives into his hands. So we're going to reaffirm our baptismal vows together. That moment when we handed over, or we were handed over for God's glory, whether we did it as an infant or as an adult later on in life. If you've not been baptised you are sort of asking questions about that, then it would be really good to have a conversation with you. You might want to set up a Zoom meeting with me, because that's how we're interacting now, apparently. Other platforms are available, but I don't use them. Do get in touch about that. But this is for all of those who have been baptised into Christ's church, to be resurrection people who have received the Holy Spirit inside their lives. That Holy Spirit that took Jesus through the gates of death into resurrection life is the same Spirit that dwells within us. So we're going to reaffirm and re-invite God into our life together now. So do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? I reject them. Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? I renounce them. Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour? I repent of them. Do you turn to Christ as Saviour? I turn to Christ. Do you submit to Christ as Lord? I submit to Christ. Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? I come to Christ. Now, Mark's Gospel doesn't end with the disciples just going off and being silent and not telling anyone because they were afraid. Obviously, there is a little bit extra. In the historic accounts of this, the history of Mark's Gospel is a bit confused, because there are some texts which do stop there. Others have a little extra, and others have a different ending, a longer ending, which involves handling snakes and a whole load of stuff. We're going to read the shorter ending of Mark, just because it seems odd that Mark's gospel ends with them going, and we didn't tell anyone, and they were afraid, because clearly the gospel did get spread. So we suspect that in the earliest manuscripts that we have, this bit got cut off, and that a previous manuscript had been written, which we don't have a copy of. But anyway, we're going to read a little bit extra. It's one more verse, and it's verse 9 of the shorter ending of Mark, not of the longer ending. And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterwards, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. That is what we have just proclaimed, that Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Hallelujah. So we're going to, continuing on that reaffirmation, we are going to be together and proclaim that truth, all that we know of God in our lives, by saying the creed together. I'm going to ask a series of questions, and you're going to join with me as we profess our faith together. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing two songs, and in between those two songs, I'm going to offer just a few more reflections on Easter, and then I will give you more instructions after those songs about entering into Eucharist and entering into a time of prayer as we go towards the Eucharist. But let's sing together, Come and Stand Before Your Maker. This time the words will be on the screen in this video. Then there'll be a sermon which was pre-recorded, and then we'll have Thine Be the Glory, and then we'll come back here for our prayer activities.
Come and stand before your Maker, full of wonder, full of fear. Come behold his power and glory, yet with confidence draw near. For the one who holds the heavens and commands the stars above is the God who bends to bless us within unrelenting love. Turning tragedy to triumph, turning agony to praise. There is blessing in the battle, so take heart and stand amazed. Rejoice when you cry.
Rejoice!
You find me in a place you don't usually find me, which is in my garden. Being cooped up indoors can make us really want to get out if we're able to, and within the limits and restrictions that the government have put upon us at this time for understandable reasons. Lots of people have tried to encourage me to get into gardening, to get out and about, to do exercise out in the outdoors. But I have to admit, I'm really struggling to be inspired by gardening. I get it. I understand why people like it. It's just not for me, really. It's not a hobby that connects with me. That's not to say I don't like gardens. It was always Sarah that cultivated our garden in Greenhill. And many of you will have seen the garden. It's massive. Slightly overwhelming, actually, to be fair. Maybe that's part of why I don't want to get into gardening. But she would potter around and care for and cultivate and shape the garden and deal with the life of the plants and the trees, etc. But since she has died, I just sort of left it to grow, and it's gone a bit wild, and I quite like that. I like wild gardens. I like the surprise of how nature forces itself upon us, that it just quietly grows how it wants to grow and without any interference with us, and it's still beautiful. I look around and the tufts of grass and the sort of patches which grow, the flowers that are hardy and still grow through despite no human connection, they'll just get on with it whether I'm here or not. They'll just do it anyway. Let me show you some bits that I particularly like that always remind me of Sarah at different points in the year. We used to have lots of trees. Those of you who've been around Greenhill for longer will know that we had lots of trees. Well, this tree was cut down before we got here. I can't really see it now, but I dug a little bed around it. It's now overgrown with lawn, but flowers still burst through. Beginning of summer, I think, flowers still burst through the lawn at that point that Sarah planted, and it will look a bit like this, which is where the daffodils are planted. Most of the year, that just looks like lawn. Just looks like nothing's there. It's dead, and you know that's all that's there. But actually, from that quiet place, bursts forth new life in surprising ways. And that sort of is what I'm drawn to reflect on about the resurrection. So often we read the story of the resurrection of Easter Sunday as this big splash, this big moment, this break, the crack, the lightning and the thunder and the light bursting out of darkness all of a sudden, and this sort of shock factor bursts us into celebration, song and rejoicing. This year feels a bit slower, feels a bit more subtle. Doesn't really feel like we are free to celebrate because there is still a pandemic around. There's still death tolls are rising and people are still contracting the virus and therefore facing a battle with an illness. There are still people who are restricted. There's the economic downturn, which is inevitable, that will come from this. We will be dealing with the repercussions of this, the devastation of it, for months and months to come. And so it doesn't really feel like now is the time for celebration, to join together and to sing and to thank God for anything, because, hey, life's still dark and death still hovers over us. And so what do we do about the resurrection on a day like today? A couple of days before Sarah died, I wrote a poem about the resurrection, and not about the big splash of it, but the subtlety of it, the understatement of the resurrection in everyday life. So I'm gonna read that poem to you, and then we'll sing again and enter into some prayer activities, which will help us to continue to reflect on that. So this poem is called "The Taste of Resurrection." Oh, the taste of resurrection is surprising in its normality. It does not impress itself upon the senses, nor forces itself to the front. Rather, it infuses through all and permeates the palate in drawing out the goodness of the corruptible ingredients. It is in the beauty of the usual, the wonder of the commonplace. It shines through the stained glass of ordinary and regular.
Like salt, it collaborates with bland, supporting them to shine afresh. In new ways, that which was boring becomes a delicacy. Resurrection power exerts itself not to overpower, but to empower, to bring life to dullness, colour to drab. It works through other and refuses to take centre stage alone. Resurrection is elusive, for it will not be seen solitary, solo or unescorted. You see it hidden in the elegance and grace of things which we don't call heaven. It is comeliness itself. It is an aspect attached. If you're not looking for it, you will not find it. But once you've glimpsed it, you'll never lose it. So in the difficulties of life, it will seem like resurrection is not present and we can't celebrate it because it's not here yet. But it is. It is in all of those things. Our eyes are open to it because God is bringing about his kingdom. And we might not know anything about it. We may not notice it until it's there, present. We know it by its absence. When it's not there, when the resurrection is not working through creation, we know it. We sense it. If we just wait, it will appear. It will appear in collaboration with creation. It will be like those flowers growing privately underground until they burst forth. In this time of pandemic and illness, disease and struggle and strife, the resurrection is bringing the kingdom of God to us. That is worth celebrating. Let us have eyes to see it, hearts to appreciate it, and mouths to sing of God's glory in it. Amen.
Hello, welcome back. I hope that was helpful for you. We're going to move into a time of prayer and intercession now. And on our website, www.stpeters.co/sermons, there is a link to the Resurrection Sunday resources, which you should have been pointed to at the beginning of the service. Please do go there, gather resources, and do one or more of the prayer activities set out there with instructions to be downloaded at the bottom of that page. There are lots of different ways of engaging with that. There's one which involves lemon juice and water and some sugar, so take that carefully there. There's also one which involves eating different coloured Easter eggs, the different coloured eggs or sweets, depending on what you've got in the house at the moment. Please remember that that is a prayer activity, not just an eating activity. Yes, I'm talking to you, Albert Corrigan. Let's engage it in intercession as well. When it comes to making an Easter garden, if you'd like to do that, then obviously I really encourage that. But please, 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 children, do ask adults permission before using any materials, before you start using something that they want to use later. So do check with an adult and get some help with that. Finally, there is one about butterflies. There's an outline which you should be able to download and print off. A shape of a butterfly. If you can't get it downloaded, then I encourage you just to draw your own butterfly and write in it and use that as a prayer activity, raising up things that you would like to see transformation in your life. Of course, it's easy for us adults to think that it's all for the kids, but actually I would encourage you adults to engage with these prayer activities as well, either in this time that is being dedicated now or later on in the day. So we're going to go off now and do those prayer activities by ourselves or in our households. I invite us to come back together for the Eucharist at 11:15. 11:15. That should give you enough time to engage in one or two of them, if not all of them. So please do come back. We'll meet back here live streamed at 11:15 for our Eucharist celebration. See you then. Okay, I think we'll begin with this. Others can join us as they finish off those prayer activities. Welcome back. I hope those prayer activities were useful. Please do continue to use them, to continue to engage with them. I hope the kids are still off at making Easter gardens. I'd love to see photos of those. Please do send them in. Please do continue to use them over the coming days as we continue to celebrate the resurrection in our homes. You will need your service sheet available for the Eucharist, so please do go. If you haven't downloaded it already, then it's at stpeters.co/resurrection-sunday-resources. So do go there and download those and have them ready. We're going to enter into a time of peace now to share the peace over the comments section. So do have them ready. I know there's a bit of a lag in the video. So what I suggested last week, and I'm going to continue to suggest, is if you start sharing the peace now, when I've done the liturgy, then we will be in real time and I can be able to respond to some of you personally as they come up on the comments section in front of me. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia. The peace of the risen Christ be always with you. So let's share words of peace with everyone. Peace be with you, Simon. Peace, Michelle. Peace, Brenda. Bless you. Nice to see you. Peace, James. God bless you. Peace of the lid be with me. Great, thanks, James. I prefer the peace of the Lord, but the lid will do just fine. Bless you. Peace be with you, Alison. Ginter, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Do continue to share peace with one another.
There's been a lot of talk about Eucharist and communion online, particularly over the last few days, particularly about this sense of why it is that I get the privilege and the gift of being able to celebrate the Eucharist and have communion when all of you, laity, can't. There is a sense in which people are, particularly lay people, are seeing that what I'm doing here is a privilege and a gift which is not shared with others, that I'm not sharing in solidarity with my brothers and sisters in the lay part of the church. And that in some way this makes you guys feel like second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. I want to say that in my heart that is in no way the truth. I miss your ministry. Your ministry is important. I miss engaging with it. I miss seeing it and watching it. I'm sure you're all still ministering in the kingdom of God and in the Church of Christ as he has called you and as he has equipped you. I grieve the loss of being able to see that ministry at work. It gives me great pleasure when I see people fulfilling their vocation of the Lord. What I'm doing here is not just for me personally, not just so that I can receive bread and I can receive wine, but as the presider over our community, as the person who has the cure of your souls, who is responsible for your spiritual health, that when I meet with my Maker, your souls for the time that I am here will be what he asks me about. And so it is my responsibility to ensure that you continue to get fed. Now, I can't feed you physically at this point in time because we're not together. I can't hand you the nourishment of Christ's body and the nourishment of Christ's wine. And so I am relying on the body of Christ's image, that like an immunization shot and a vaccine shot in the arm, it goes to the arm, but not only the arm benefits, the whole body benefits from the vaccine and the immunization. And so by me taking this, I am doing it as a way in which it can be entered into the church. I do it because I have the authority vested in me by Christ through his church, through the ordination of the church, to be able to preside over this in order to call down the Holy Spirit in this particular way, not in always. You yourselves can call down the Holy Spirit in many, many ways, but it's been deemed fit by the Church of Christ throughout the centuries that this particular call of the Holy Spirit, this particular moment, is to be done through an authorized minister ordained by the Church right from early church times. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this on behalf of the rest of the church, not just people here at St. Peter's, but for the whole Church of Christ, that at this time I will continue the feast of Christ. I will continue to look ahead to the kingdom of God. And I do this along with you, although you're not able to participate fully. I do it in order to remind us that the kingdom of God is still coming. By your actions, or by your ministry, by your invocation of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is coming. And so I, in my particular way, in my particular vocation, am calling down the kingdom of God in this way. It is not special, it is not bigger and more important, it is particular. But it has no more value than the invocations of the Spirit that you called down. So I hope that's clear. So pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours, our sacrifice of praise, may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at my hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Almighty and Eternal Father. And on this night of our redemption, to celebrate with joyful hearts the memory of your wonderful works, For by the mystery of his passion, Jesus Christ, your risen Son, has conquered the powers of death and hell, restored in men and women the image of your glory. He has placed them once more in paradise and opened to them the gate of life eternal. And so, in the joy of this Passover, earth and heaven resound with gladness, while angels and archangels and the powers of all creation sing forever the hymn of your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends. Taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine again. He praised you, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us, with Peter and all the saints, to feast at your table in the coming kingdom. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. So rejoicing in God's new creation as our Saviour taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxieties. We wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. By your Holy Spirit, nourish your church across the world, scattered, divided by location, theology and spirituality. Unite us in a spiritual communion, Lord, with you. Visit those incarcerated, those in persecuted countries. May all your people on this Easter day stand together. Stand and weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice, and bring us all into that coming kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I invite you now to go and watch the annual pun-filled sermon. I'm sorry, but I'm not really sorry. It was great fun to do. Go and watch that on YouTube, and we will meet back together here live in about 5 minutes' time. So come back together, live streamed in 5 minutes, but go to watch the pun-filled sermon on YouTube. You can find that on the resource link. Welcome back. We're going to conclude our service now, and we're going to start by praying. So let's pray
together. God of life, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we pray together the prayer after communion. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. We're going to sing a song. It's a relatively new song. I hope that everyone can pick it up. The words are on the service sheet, which you can access, as always, stpeters.co/sermons, clicking on Resurrection Sunday resources. So let's worship God using this relatively new song called Ain't No Grave. Let's worship God and sing out his praises for the battle that has been won. As always, I will mute my mic.
Prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. And love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no
I do like that song. It's very triumphant. Please feel free to make your own Easter playlist. I challenge you to come up with some really great Easter anthems and to listen to them throughout the day. You've got Tim Hughes, you've got With Happy Day, you've got Graham Kendrick, See What a Morning. Lots of great songs. He is Risen. All of these songs that we could have picked for today to sing out worship to our risen Lord. I think it's really important at this time, maybe throughout this week, maybe over the rest of the lockdown, to be singing out Resurrection Easter songs. So please do gather those together, be sharing them on your social media so that we can all enjoy them together. I really encourage you to do that. Not many notices, but just a few. I am taking tomorrow off, and I will be resting a little bit, and so there won't be morning or evening prayer tomorrow. I am still obviously around, I'm still in my house, so if you want to ring and you need to talk to someone, I am around. I would be more than happy to be with you and to walk you through whatever you are needing to ask at the moment, or whatever you just want to talk about. The rule I want to give you is a rule that I heard a couple of months ago, and that is, if what you're ringing about is about me being a vicar, then that can probably wait. That sort of management, leadership of the church, decision makings, all of those sorts of things. If you need a vicar, could you wait until Tuesday? If you need a priest and you need someone to walk with you in difficulty, or you want someone to pray for you, then please do contact me tomorrow. I would be more than happy. But I don't know by the sound of the rings what that is. So I'm going to leave it to you to make a decision about that. But I am going to take a rest day tomorrow. I was meant to be going on holiday this week, but I'm not going to because I have nowhere to go. So I'm going to stay put. I'm going to take it a little slower, but I will be catching up on a whole load of pastoral telephone calls that I have needed to make. But for this week, because I've been creating a whole load of resources, I've not been able to. So I will be catching up with many of you. So I look forward to doing that. And morning and evening prayer will be run as always throughout the week. Morning prayer at 9 o'clock, evening prayer at 5:30. And then on Wednesday, we have a midday Eucharist for those who would appreciate that. But I will be celebrating that on our behalf as a church and on the church, the Universal Church of Christ, on Wednesday at midday. The only other notice that I have is about next Sunday. Next Sunday was due to be our annual meeting, but obviously we are postponing that. We're postponing that until sort of September, October time. PCC have yet to decide on a date of that, but when we're back and we know a little bit more what's going to be happening at that point, we'll make a decision closer to the time. But next Sunday we will be meeting back here at 10:15, not the advertised 11 o'clock, because we don't need to have an annual meeting. So at 10:15, I will be offering some reflections on the annual report. I'm hoping that we can be getting that out and available to people. I'm sure Beth, Michelle and I will discuss how we're going to do that and what's appropriate. So do keep an eye out on the website and on Facebook for that announcement. But I'll be reflecting a little bit on that as we head into Easter. I'll also be sending out this week the finalised rota, or the potential rota, and I hope that will be useful. Obviously, I'm going to be putting people on, but I've sort of missed out up until the end of May. If we get out of lockdown before the end of May, then I will be back in touch with the relevant people and ask it. So we're going to be sort of phasing back in if that is what the government decide. But we may still be in lockdown at the end of May. So I've left it to the end of May before putting in worship leaders and readers and stuff like that. But that will be coming out during this coming week. I think that's all the notices for me. Please do be sharing those if you've got any others on the comment section or various social medias, just to keep everyone up to date with what's going on. Before going into our final bit of liturgy and commissioning one another to be resurrection people at this time, to go into this new season with the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, I just want to pass on some prayer requests for certain people. Obviously, you've all got prayer requests, and I have been praying for you daily, but some particularly that have requested it. And first of all, we continue to pray for Patrick and Jill. Patrick remains on a ventilator. The settings have changed, and there is a glimmer of hope. So we continue to pray that God would work in his way and in his will in Patrick's life. Whilst sort of holding this sort of tension, as we don't know what God is doing in that, but he is doing a silent but powerful and redemptive work in that situation. So let's continue to watch and praise God in it, and pray for Jill as she continues to wrestle with being away from Patrick. The chaplains at the hospital are finding ways in which communication can happen between loved ones and their relatives on the ward, and so we pray for Helen, who is the chaplain at the Hallamshire, as she and her team minister to all those who have contracted the virus. We also want to pray for Sandy. Sandy has joined us. I don't know if she's still with us on Facebook. That sounded too definite. Sorry, Sandy. She's been struggling to breathe, and so let's pray for those symptoms to be relieved from her, that she doesn't pass it on to Phil, who is obviously very vulnerable at this point in time, and also with underlying health issues. So let's pray for the Johnsons. Pray for Barbara. Barbara Silcock is an older member of our congregation, and she hasn't been with us on Sundays and in our worshipping community for a long time, because she's gone into a home with dementia, and she has contracted the virus along with many others in Beauchamp, so let's pray for the residents there and for the carers, all of whom are really struggling. The care homes are a sort of forgotten area of disease and infection, because they're not hospitals, and many people have died because they're obviously elderly. So let's pray for all of our residential homes and care homes across this nation, but particularly for Barbara and for Beauchamp. Thanks, Mike. Yes, Hannah Corrigan is doing Children's Church at 3 o'clock on Zoom. So do contact Bess, we think. Let's commission ourselves as we go out go into this week. Not go out. Go out for your hour, but not anymore. Go into this new season as resurrection people. It will be on your service sheet. So the response is, with the help of God, I will. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers? With the help of God, I will. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? With the help of God, I will. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? With the help of God, I will. Will you seek to serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbour as yourself? With the help of God, I will. Will you acknowledge Christ's authority over human society, by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice? With the help of God, I will. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Sorry, I lost my place. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. God the Son, who in bursting from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the Easter faith. And may God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. With the risen life of Christ within you, go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Happy Easter to you all, and may peace rest with you. Amen.